purpose of the sermon is to put ourselves in a position where God influences our emotions more than any other factor in our lives. And this time of year, December through February, is usually a rough time on people's emotions, whether anticipation of celebration got cut a little short in our hearts, or we miss people sincerely, or it's cold, or the days are so short, the nights are so long. Emotional health is really on the downslide this time of year. But God's emotions are faithful and steadfast, and He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if you think of emotions as something the Lord had first, which He had had from all eternity past, you know, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, celebrating God as one, celebrating being a creator. He didn't do it just as a rational exercise like iRobot, you know, I shall make this, and it occurs, and He has no, you know, emotional investment in it whatsoever. He looked and He saw it was very good, especially when He made the people. So the emotional life of our Lord to look at, ask God to influence that part of our lives. 1980, James Dobson wrote a book called Emotions, Can You Trust Them? Real good book on putting trust in God, not necessarily how we're feeling about things. It was a helpful book. If God was writing a book, or if the Bible was a book about emotions, the title of the book would be Emotions, A Wonderful Gift from God. Emotions, a wonderful gift from God. Think of what your life would be without any emotions. And when you don't have any emotions, that's when you sleep. Okay? And sleep is good for a while, but not to be a lifestyle. Okay? Or not to be, you know, my general emotional tone is one of being asleep. Okay? The Bible calls that being out of touch with life and out of touch with God Himself. And I do the sermon as somebody who doesn't express himself real outwardly, emotionally, but I heard a quote one time that I think is very, very true, that people who express themselves well emotionally feel things deeply, but the one who does not express themselves feels things more deeply. And you might think of different times in your life where you're able to cry or laugh heartily. And then those times in your life where you held back the tears, then it hurt almost a little bit more. Or, you know, I've had this many a time in different church meetings where I want to just laugh out about what I've just said or an issue we're dealing with, but I hold it back. And boy, is it funny in my soul to hold it back. You dare not laugh at certain times, you know. But emotions, a true gift from God. Heaven and earth and hell are full of emotions. They really are. So emotions not created by man. They're created by God. God is the most emotional one in the whole Bible, in the whole Old Testament in particular. And, God, for example, Luke 15, more than once, God is depicted as the one who says, "Rejoice with me." This is what the fellows say in the parables. Rejoice with me. So God is constantly telling people to rejoice with Him. And sometimes we think about the Lord and say, you're kidding, right? You realize what I'm going through and so forth. He says, rejoice with me. And Psalm 7 gives us another emotion of God. He says, I express my wrath every day. So God is angry every day. Judgment against sin, things that hurt people, things that hurt Him. Hosea says, God will roar like a lion, and then people will follow Him. And God says, I will love you freely, and you will find compassion in the Lord. So the Lord loves us with His emotions, with His will. They're not in competition with each other. They reflect one another, and we do that also. 20 years ago, Ravi Zacharias wrote a book called Cries of the Heart. Now, he's a very intelligent man, tremendously high IQ, and yet he focused in on our feeling life in regards to God. Chapter titles are the cries of a suffering person, the cries of a person looking for faith, the cries of a person wanting to feel, the cries of a person who have peace, you know, those kind of things. So it was quite an emotional book. He recognized the importance of, hey, emotions just aren't something, you know, to ignore or just kind of keep them like totally pressed down. But they're part of our life. Like a thermostat, they tell us, do we have some energy and enthusiasm, or are we, as one person said a long time ago, are we low energy? Yeah, low energy Christian, you know. You kind of just, the word for that is, if you physically get hurt and it hurts so much, you go in shock. You don't express emotion. Body's way of protecting itself. Or you're in a stupor. Wives claim their husbands are often in a stupor. That's not the case. Okay, there is life going on in there. And then activities and emotions and so forth. But Robbie Zacharias said, all our emotions are an expression of faith in God or turning away from Him. Kind of a, is the fever there? Is it healthy 98.6? Or is it, oh my, close to being gone? Lack of emotion is a sign of being unhealthy. The word the Bible uses for that in regards to God and our trust in Him is lukewarm. We might use the word apathetic. God is never apathetic. When you are apathetic, you are most not like God. Okay. When you say, I'm unmoved, I do not care, that's just, you know, that's it. So that, Jesus said, that's a disgusting experience for Him. When He gives us life Himself, offers eternal life, and that we would be without pathos, apathetic, without passion or emotion. And so Jesus models healthy emotions for us. He models it as being fully man and fully God. All His emotions were holy. They pointed people to God Himself. And so here's about 15 different emotions Jesus showed in the New Testament that we could learn from a bit. In John chapter 2, it is said that Jesus was consumed with zeal for His Father's house. Okay, good evaluation of worship. How do you feel about worship? You know, well, I worship when I can, or I worship when I feel like it, or whatever. I'm not Jesus. Okay, He was consumed with passion for His Father's house, for the temple, and in the New Testament would later tell us, happens to be consumed with passion for you. Isn't that great? Because you're the temple of God's Spirit. So God is intensely concerned about you and sees you as, there's nothing more important in creation than your relationship with the Lord. Consumed with passion. And then He has compassion, 14 different occasions in the New Testament. It's the number one emotional attribute of Jesus shown. He's either teaching that or just shows it right off. And that means to be with caring or with passion towards people. Then He's full of joy. He says, I tell you these things so that you might obey Me, so My joy would be in you. A connection of obedience to joy, which is pretty good connection. We find that in our life. And then love. Love, again, not just an act of the will, but a heart involvement. When Lazarus died and his sisters were crying, Jesus looked at them and he was deeply distressed. He cried and people said, behold how He loved him. Might it be said of you and me, because of somebody, you know, compassion we show for somebody, look how he or she loved that one. How true. And Jesus looked at the rich man who would reject Him in Mark's gospel. And he looked at the rich man and he loved him.
He loved him.
He wanted him. How does Jesus respond to people not turning to him, rejecting him, being excited about everything else? He loved them. He loved them. And so the Lord expresses that. The Lord expresses anger and deep distress when people were more concerned about rules than the need of a person who was crippled. And he got so angry, he healed the man. Wouldn't it be great if the Lord got so angry, he healed somebody? I said, Lord, get angry every day, please, like that. And he was deeply moved when he was near the tomb of Lazarus. He prayed earnestly and sweat when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. And there, too, he was overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. You know, in your life, you may get so sorrowful and overwhelmed that you just simply collapse. You fall down. People do that. That's what Jesus did. You know, thinking of his life, his rescue mission for us. And then he was emotional when he gave warning. Woe to you. He gave the woes, the most frequent woes to the Bible crowd, to the religious crowd. Woe to you. Okay. To not look at the Lord. And then he gave praise. Praise involves emotion. And no doubt he sang because he loved worship. Psalms were his hymn book or song book. Did you ever try to sing without emotion? I've tried it for half my life, almost accomplished it. But when you sing, your heart gets engaged. And it's a way of having our emotion follow our will to give thanks to God. And it's really God wired us that way. He was troubled and he wept over Jerusalem. He did, even when Jerusalem was going to reject him, he was concerned about the most hardened response to him. You know anybody who's real stubborn toward the Lord, you know? I don't want to hear anything. No, God's not a part of this. Jesus is troubled about that. And he weeps about that. And then he says he eagerly desires to have fellowship. It was at the Lord's Supper. When Jesus thinks of being close to others, maybe at a mealtime, you know, he says, I love this fellowship with brothers and sisters in the faith. So we want to have that also. Loud cries. You notice from the cross, it was quotes that were read today, when Jesus prayed, my God, why have you forsaken me? And when he prayed, Lord, into your hands I commit my spirit. He just, you know, he could have prayed just regular voice like you and I do, but he was dying. He cried out these prayers. You should cry out some prayers sometimes. I'm sure you have. You know, Lord, help. Jesus did. You know, he's our example. Looking at Jerusalem again, if you only knew. And then, I like this part. Again, the rejoice with me. I have to have a party. I have to celebrate because there's people who put in their trust, you know, they're coming back, they're coming to God. And this is the story of the father and the prodigal son. So much Jesus' will and his emotions were on the same track. And again, I recognize when I thought of this sermon, you know, he's from the Middle East and the Jewish culture. And the Middle East and the Jewish culture, they're very emotional cultures. So maybe they get, they express themselves a little more clearly. But people in England, you know, who are more reserved, or Germany and so forth, they have all these emotions too. And again, it's more quietly expressed, but it's still there. And it's to the glory of God and hopefully to the building up of somebody else that they do express emotions, as opposed to what we want to avoid again, non-emotions. I'm just, how do you feel about that? I don't care. What about that song to the Lord? So? What do you think about the scripture today? Scripture? What? We want to avoid that. If our emotions were not connected, our wills and our obedience will not be connected. And so, just the gift of God. We see this in the Apostle Paul, not to belabor the point, but here he is with the Philippians. He prays for them with joy. He says, I long for you. He wants them to, he expects them to be more courageous in their faith. He eagerly expects that God, you know, is not going to have a second place in his life. He'd pull something really, he's tried this with your Christian brother and sister. He says, your joy should overflow on account of me. That's pretty good. So you said, just poke the person next to you, you know. You should be more joyful by the mere fact that I'm here today. You know, that kind of thing. He says, your joy will overflow on account of me. Fear and trembling of salvation. He says, hey, be glad with me. He says, press on and strain. You know, following Jesus is not an invitation to a life of comfort. Okay. So, when you don't follow Jesus, Paul said, I say it with tears that people are not doing that. And then rejoice always. To the Galatians, Paul, again, was emotional, astonished. If you don't trust Christ, you're going to be eternally condemned. He says, I was eager. He said, foolish Galatians, Erwinites, whatever the case was. He fears for us. He pleads with us. He says, I have to change my tone. He realizes he's getting intense. A warning, mark my words. I warn you, if somebody sins, restore them gently. You can be gentle in your emotions. When's the time of being gentle? To the sinner who falls. And then to have self-control and expression of his love. Just, here's Zacharias again, because he's a credible witness. He does 30 pages. He does a whole chapter on the cry to feel my faith. I think every Christian should read that chapter. Feel my faith. You feel something. Feel your faith. Okay? He says, what a unique capacity God has put within us, this capacity to feel. And he goes on to say, emotions are not foundational, but they are vital. What is vital? Let's check your vital signs. Heart rate, blood pressure, breathing, emotions. Do you got any? You know, it's that kind of thing. And if it's heartbroken, say heartbroken. Anger, say anger. Joy, say joy. Or give them to God so you express them appropriately, not just, you know, open the bag and fire them out at people and so on. Well, here's some things the Lord does for us in our emotions. He promises to make all things new, and that includes our emotions. You'll be emotional in heaven about the Lord, so we could be that way today. Be sympathetic because He feels everything we feel. And it's great if we feel everything He feels. You know, the old prayer was, Lord, let my heart be broken by things that break Your heart. So I'm not going to be an apathetic, just, you know, whatever's happening next, I'll be, I think I'll get excited about kind of Christian. Again, it's disgusting to God. Number two, it is normal in your life. I think Jesus felt every one of these, with the exception of maybe fear, although he would fear people turn away from him in his humanity, to feel great loneliness. Don't stay there. That's a tough area to be in. Pain, sadness, grief, fear, anger, tears. I want to say a word about this. When you go through a trial, it's often said to a Christian, you know, everybody's watching how you go through this trial, so it's really critical. It'll be a great testimony if you smile a lot and say, hey, you know, everything's fine. Don't worry about it. Jesus is still fantastic. And sure, you know, I just lost all my loved ones and I have cancer. But, you know, lickety split. Can't wait to go get some ice cream. You know, that is not a credible witness. Unless God has given you that unique personality, which there's about two of us in here who are naturally that way. Okay. So when you're sad, be sad. And it's a praise to God that He gave you the ability to be sad. Your tears actually are healthy for you when you cry. It actually gives health to your body. Some of us, I would be a lot more healthy if I cried more. I used to cry all the time, but I'm trying to bounce it off. And laughter and joy and love, compassion, praise, enthusiasm, calmness, and worship, just as our Lord did. And our emotions, well, good thing to remember where they come from. They're not anti-God. They're not anti-faith. They're supposed to be a reflection of the Lord and faith. They do come from our thinking most of the time, but not all the time. Sometimes they come from our health. If you have a fever, if you have a pain, if you have a toothache, your emotions are going to be a certain way. Okay? It's God, part of God's warning system. You're cranky, you must have a toothache. Yes, I do. Let's go to the dentist. Okay? Emotions come from health. Food. This is one, my favorite. Food. I am automatically more joyful when I'm eating certain things. Automatically. I'm automatically more joyful when I'm eating anything. I've thought of the times in my life where there was great sadness and somebody gave me, like, even scrambled eggs from McDonald's, and it was like, whew, they just took away about 50% of my pain. I'm not that shallow, but there is, you know, there is health in food, you know, three times a day at least. Your behavior can affect your emotions. Don't wait to get excited to follow the Lord. Sometimes you do things and then you follow. You see your neighbor, Mr. Jones, you disdain him, you don't like him at all. You see him outside and, hi, Mr. Jones, you force yourself to do that. Can I help you shovel your driveway? And all of a sudden, by the end of your behaviors, you're thinking, I can't believe it. I love Mr. Jones. your behavior, emotions follow your behavior. Same thing in worship sometimes. You probably notice I don't normally lead the congregation in clapping. Others do. That's a good thing. I'm like in the middle. I'll be in the middle group to pick up clapping, or I'll be like the last one in the congregation to clap. Everybody else will be clapping, and I'll be like, I'll get my hands out of my pockets. I'll stop, you know, pretending like I'm reading my Bible. Put it down. Start clapping. So on the third clap, I'm, you know, how long is it going to be? By the tenth clap, I'm thinking, hey, I like this. We should clap all the time, you know. Your emotions can follow your behavior. Point is, honor God and your emotions will follow. Circumstances do affect our emotions. If a bomb went off, you would feel certain things, whether you were close to the Lord or not. You would be, you know, you would be full of adrenaline. And then God can touch you at the level of your emotions. Meet Him there. Point four, very important, I think, for the American Christian in the American church that worships, and worships their emotions, but and so stuffs them sometimes. To be without emotion is to be out of touch with God. I give you a challenge for that in your devotional closet, in your Sunday morning worship, in your Sunday school class, on your job, you know, when the boss is on your case, to be out, without emotion is to be out of touch with God. And to remember, Jesus sympathizes with all our emotions because He felt them first, with the exception of things that are sinful like envy and so on. He felt them first. He wants to meet us in them. And in closing, you know, our praise to God can be like this from Psalm 31. He says, I will be glad and rejoice in your love, Lord, for you saw my affliction and you knew the anguish of my soul. So he says, I'll be glad and rejoice because God knows how bad it is sometimes. He knows. God knows your emotions better than you do. And if you're flat-lined, he knows you're just an exhausted person. You know, and you gave your emotions to everything else. So you don't have nothing left for the Lord. You give, seek Him first. He'll feel the others. We could pray to the Lord, Lord, make my emotions holy as you are holy. And as Christian said in Pilgrim's Progress, he got emotional a few times. And when he had it, you know, he had to know whether to go to Vanity Fair or keep following the Lord. He just did this. He said, life, life, eternal life. And so your emotions express the gift of life God gave you. Life, life, eternal life. And God will help you follow Him all the way to heaven. Let's pray together. Father, whether our emotions be there, expressed freely or on a more reserved basis, they belong to you. We're a steward of them, as it were, and we want our emotions to be healthy. Our thinking change or seeing you more often, surrendering to you is a great gain of emotional health. Giving thanks can turn a apathetic person into a go-getter following the Lord. So work in the emotional life of us, your dear people, both in our pains, but also in the blessings that you send 1,000 every day. So give might our emotions be a part of our Christian walk. And you just fuel them with your love. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.